Even so, oxen were powerful beasts. Enough of them would have no problem at all in dragging the cart as well as the barricade. And the nice thing was that people thought of a barricade as something people tried to get into, not out of. Vimes slipped out into the noisy, confusing night. There were soldiers and watchmen and refugees, all cursing at cross purposes. In the flickering shadows, Vimes was just another shape. He pushed his way confidently around the straining oxen and their driver, who was prodding them with a stick. He was heartened by the fact that the man looked the kind of man who'd get 6 out of 10 when answering the question, "What is your name?" Vimes didn't even stop. The important thing was not to let the other person have a chance to say, "But," let alone, "Who the hell do you think you are?" He pushed the man aside and glared at the sweating beasts. "Ah, right, I see your problem right here," he said, in the voice of one who knows everything there is to know about oxen. "They've got the glaggies, but we can fix that. Hold up that one's tail. Hurry up, man." The ox poker responded to the voice of authority. Vimes palmed a lump of ginger. "Here goes," he thought. "At least it's somewhere warm on a cold night." "Okay, now the other one." "Right. Okay. Now I'll just go around and, just go around," said Vimes, hurrying back into the shadows. He shouldered his way through the throng and dived through a tiny hole. "It's all right, Sarge. I spied you coming through Mrs. Rutherford's dining room chairs," said Fred Colon, hauling him upright. "Well, you stopped it, Sarge, no mistake. You really..."
Yeah, don't shake hands with me until I've had a wash," said Vimes, heading for the pump.
He kept an ear cocked for any strange noises on the other side of the barricade. There were none for several seconds, and then he heard it. Nothing much had happened for some while after his visit to the oxen, except that, very slowly, their eyes had begun to cross, and then, also quite slowly, turn red. It takes a long time for anything to happen inside the head of an ox, but when it does, it happens extensively. The moo started off low and rose slowly. It was a visceral sound that had rolled across the ancient tundra and told early man that here came dinner or death, and either way it was pissed. It was the sound of a big beast that was still too small to restrain all the emotions that were welling up inside it. And it was a duet. Vimes, hauling himself up the barricade, saw people running. Then the whole of Big Mary shuddered. That didn't look too impressive unless you knew that a couple of tons of wood had just jumped sideways. Then there was a sound of splintering. Two of Big Mary's locked wheels collapsed, and she toppled sideways in a mass of flame, splinters, smoke and dust. Vimes counted under his breath, and had only reached 2 when a cartwheel rolled out of the smoke and away down the road. This always happens. It wasn't over, though. The oxen, tangled in the remains of the shafts and harness, and now an enraged joint creature that could only get 6 legs out of 8 on the ground, headed erratically but with surprising speed in the opposite direction. The other oxen, which had been waiting for the big pull, watched it approach. They were already spooked by the crash, and now they caught the stink of terror and fury and began a slow stampede away from it and towards, as it turned out, the waiting bowmen behind them, who in turn tried to run into the cavalry. The horses were not inclined to be well behaved towards armed men in any case, and were also in a state of some apprehension. They relieved this by kicking the hell out of anyone close. It was hard for the watchers along the barricade to see much of what happened after that, but the noises were very interesting for quite some time. Sergeant Colon's mouth shut.
"Bloody hell, Sarge," he said admiringly.
In the distance, glass shattered.
"They'll be back," said Vimes. "Yep, but not all of them," said Wiglet. "Well done, Sarge."
Vimes turned and saw Sam staring at him in wide-eyed hero worship.
"I was lucky, lad," he said. "But it helps to remember little details and not mind getting your hands dirty."
"But we could win now, Sarge," said Sam.
"No, we can't. But we can put off losing until it doesn't hurt too much."
Vimes turned to the others.
"Right, lads, back to work. We've had some fun, but dawn's a long way off."
The news had got around even before he'd climbed down from the barricade. There was a cheer from the crowd and a general struttiness about the armed men. "We'd shown them, eh? They don't like the taste of cold steel, those, other people from Ankh-Morpork. We'll show them, eh?" And it had taken a few wedges, some raw ginger, and a lot of luck. That wouldn't happen twice. Maybe it didn't need to. He remembered hearing about the assassination. It was all very mysterious. Winder had been killed in a room full of people.